they are going to bless you in so many ways this week. And, you know, he's like, not only can he do great magic tricks and all of those balloon tricks, but he can play the piano too, you know. I don't know why the Lord gives all the talent in some spots, and it just, you know, but but we're always delighted to have them, and he's just a great guy to work with. If you have opportunity to have him come to your church, you should do that.
Amen.
Because you will be blessed by him. One more thing before I turn it over to Daniel. Bishop Huskins has been having some health problems, and so he don't think he's going to be able to make it this week, but I want you to just lift your hands all over this place tonight. Amen. And he's been a part of our camp for a long time, but I want you to pray tonight and minister in this house for Bishop Huskins. Let's just lift up our voice and just ask God to touch, send healing, power, and virtue through his body right now, where he sits, wherever he is, that he knows the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, is doing something right now in his midst. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, all over this place, God, we lift our hands and we lift our voices. Lord, we send the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit right now, God, to minister to Bishop's body. Lord, mind, soul, body, and spirit, God, we declare him the healed of the Lord. Father, we lift up the name of Jesus and we lift up the hands of Bishop, God, right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, declaring that you are doing healing and strength and might and power right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, right now, hallelujah, that sickness has got to go in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We declare that he is healed and whole in Jesus' name, amen, amen. And I believe it in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And so we have tonight the balloon guy, Daniel Herron, amen.
Well, you guys are in for a treat just because I know some of the things that are in store at camp this year, and I am excited about it. I'm enthusiastic. Is anybody else enthusiastic in the place? I love it. Very good. If you don't know it, you'll know it by the end of camp. So just sit next to somebody who does know it, and they'll grab a hold of you, and they'll let you, they'll fill you in on all the right parts to say when. Because I was new last year, and I had to learn it. So I had to be one of the new guys. So, well, we're going to get started. I want to do a little test with you guys, though. A little test just to make sure you guys are ready, and ready to have an experience, ready to do stuff. So I'm going to actually show you the very first trick that I ever learned. The very first trick that I ever learned. And if the response is good, I'll hang out with you guys for a while. If the response is not so good, I may go ahead and start driving back to Kentucky. Okay? So just bear with me. Remember, 12 years old, very first trick I ever learned. Would you like to see it? Okay, good. Well, you guys might have even seen something like this before. I don't know. This trick is very simple. But remember, I was 12 years old. 12 years old in my mom and dad's basement. There was probably, 10 to 20 people there. Very first show, very first trick I ever did. All sitting on folding chairs, eating their little triangle sandwiches, drinking their soda pop. And here I get up on stage. Daniel the Great. Not, I was 12. But here's what I did. I started out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playing cards. I took one of those playing cards and I placed it over in the basket. And amazingly enough, to everyone's astonishment, the wizardry and the power of Daniel the Great, I still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playing cards. I know. Okay. And when I was 12, in unison, everybody yelled, "Amazing! Amazing!" Okay. All right, all right, all right. You know, I mean, most of you were encouraging, and that was good. But I'm going to give you one more chance because that wasn't quite the wholehearted response that at 12 that I needed. Okay, so I'm going to try it one more time. Let's pretend we're back in my parents' basement. I'm 6 years old, and I'm doing the very first trick I ever learned. And there we were. There was about 100 people in folding chairs in the basement. eating their little triangle sandwiches and drinking their soda pop. And I get up on the stage and I said, look, everybody, I brought some playing cards. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playing cards. And then I took the playing cards, and I didn't take just one playing card and throw it away, but I took 2 of the playing cards, and I threw them away. And much to their amazement and astounding, their jaws dropped and hit the floor as I counted. I still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playing cards, and the crowd went wild, and they yelled, amazing, amazing. Wow. You guys are passing the test good. I'll tell you what, since you guys are so into this, I'm going to show you this trick, the very first trick I ever learned. Matter of fact, I was in my parents' basement. There was about 400 people there. I was 2 years old, and I did this trick. It was really cool, and I used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 playing cards. And wait a minute, that's not right. I was only two. But much to their amazement, I still had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playing cards. And the crowd went wild. Amazing. Oh, stop. You guys are awesome. Okay, all right. It's the very first trick I ever learned. It wasn't really that great, but it was still fun. Nonetheless, you see, your feedback and your encouragement helped develop my superpower. That's right. Now, you might not think that doing magic tricks is a superpower, but I tell you what, it gets people's attention. And when you get people's attention, then all of a sudden you have an open door to be able to share to people in a different way. So I like to do that, and I like to share in a different way. Now, we were here this morning, and Pastor Lisa gave an awesome sermon, and she's talked about a superhero in the Bible named David. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. If you don't know the story, David picks up some 5 rocks, goes, there's a giant, and he flings a rock, kills the giant, and goes, cuts off his head. Yay. Right? Short version of the story. A lot more involved in the story. So, but before we get all the way into that story, I want you to keep that in your mind, because we're going to go there in just a minute and talk about some superheroes. But I want to ask you guys a question. Now, I'd like everybody to yell out the answer as loud as you can. As soon as you hear the end of the question, you yell out the first thing that comes into your mind. Are you ready? Here's the question. It's not a trick question. Just yell it out as soon as you hear the question. Picture in your mind a stoplight, and there's the red light and the yellow light and the green light. Red's for stop and caution and slow down, and green for go, right? But here's the question. The question is, what color is a yield sign? What is it?
Yellow.
Now, wait a minute. I heard 2 totally different answers. There was one group of people that I heard say yellow, and there was another group of people that I heard say red. Now, you raise your hand if you thought it was yellow. Raise your hand. Put your hand down. Raise your hand if you thought it was red. Put your hand down. Perfect. All right. Because I actually was asked the same question, what color is a yield sign? I immediately spoke up, oh, it's yellow. I knew it was yellow. I had no doubt it was yellow. And then the guy proceeded to show me. He pulled out his iPhone. Go ahead, if you got an iPhone or a smartphone right now, just Google it right now, or Bing Images, type in yield sign and look at it. It's not yellow. It's red and white. Now, this was on my driver's test. I passed the driver's test, and I didn't miss any of the questions on the written part. So how did I miss, when I got older, when somebody asked me, what color is a yield sign, how did I miss that? How did I miss that the yellow sign, that the yield sign was yellow, was actually red, and I thought it was yellow? And so I'm trying to figure this out. Well, they come to find out that they changed the sign from yellow to red. The United States voted to change the sign. I thought, well, that's it. They changed it on me. It's not my fault. Well, they changed it in 1972. I was 2 years old. So I can't really blame the fact that they changed the sign, because at two, I wasn't studying for the driver's test. That means that for 14 years of my life, I grew up, before I started driving, seeing that the sign was red and white. And yet, I thought it was yellow. And so I figured it out. I blamed my mom. It had to be her fault, right? It's got to be somebody else's fault. It can't be me, because I figure here I am, a little kid, and we're drawing, doodling, and drawing pictures. Somehow, somewhere, my mother probably drew a yield sign, and she told me to color it yellow. It must be her fault, right? Because it can't be me. Well, I don't know. Well, what if maybe our perceptions and maybe what we think is true may not always be true? And I found out that if I ask this question to an older generation, they say yellow. If I ask it to somebody who's, 16, 18 years old, they can usually shout out red and white, and they know exactly what, because they've just studied for the driver's test, right? So it's fresh knowledge in their mind. What this tells me is that there's another generation that has a lot of important information and a lot of truth and insight that maybe I have missed somewhere, because I'm relying on an old way of thinking, or another generation, or a story, or a religion, something that somebody else may have said one time. And instead of actually looking to find out what the facts are, I just accept that must be true. And in reality, back when I was a little baby, they changed it. I have no excuse but what I heard, or what I thought I heard. Now, I really can't blame my mom and dad, because I should have known this. I passed the driver's test. I passed it, and they had the signs on the piece of paper, and I had to label right what they were. So at one point, I did know truth. But as I got older, I decided that somebody else's truth may sway my opinion a little bit. Well, that was kind of interesting. What if you have a hidden superpower? What if your hidden superpower is on the verge of being released, but you start to listen to another generation that says you're too young? Or you listen to maybe your own peers, and they say, nobody wants to listen to us. We're this generation or that generation. They put labels on you, Generation X and Y and Z and whatever all the numbers and letters and craziness is. What if you start to listen to that and you miss out on truth that can be shared with somebody else? You miss out on your superpower. Well, David had an amazing superpower, and that was he was brave. He faced bears. He faced the lions. He protected the sheep. It was the condition of his heart that made him close to God. And when he developed that superpower, which was the relationship with God and having that communication, then he had no fear. One thing that all the superheroes growing up that I saw, the thing they had in common was they have no fear. Now, they may have a weakness, but they still have no fear. And so I see that David in the Bible has no fear. And so he goes out there. There's the giant. He's out there yelling and screaming and stomping. And he goes up there and says, why aren't you guys dealing with this? Don't you guys know the same guy that I know? And so all of a sudden, a younger generation has truth, has the right message, and has the answer, but there's another generation, an older generation, that's sitting there thinking they have the right answers, that are scared to death, and they don't know what's going on. Well, this gives me a lot of hope for the future, because I see a generation of superheroes out here because of some of the knowledge that you have that we know we can be released and pulled out. And once we figure out what your superpower is and start to develop it, all of a sudden you have the ability to change another generation. So David pulls out the slingshot, right? He slings it around and he throws a stone. What kills Goliath? I asked somebody else this, and they said, oh, I know what happened. You see, David spins that rock around, and he throws it up there, and the rock hits Goliath in the head, probably knocks him out, maybe knocks him dizzy. He falls to the ground. Then David climbs up on top of him, grabs the sword, and cuts his head off. That's what killed him. The sword killed him. Well, how about we look at what the Bible says instead of what we think it says? Because we might think that the sign is yellow when it's red. So if we'll put up those scriptures, if we'll find it in Samuel, it actually says this. In 1 Samuel 17, we have David is standing in front of the giant. In verse 46, it says, This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take your head from you. So David is so brave, he's telling the giant, I'm going to take your head. Before he doesn't even have a sword with him. He's not even packing one. But yet he's brave. The superhero rises up in him. And he's ignoring what the other generation told him. They said, you can't do it that way. Matter of fact, here's a sword. Here's some armor. Put all this on and go out there. And he tried and it would not work for him. You know what? I would love to be able to preach exactly like Pastor Lisa. I would love to preach like Brother Roger. I would love to preach like Brother Lynn House. But that armor don't fit me. Now the message and the things that are in there, boy, I can use that. But I got to start to find out the superhero that's in me. And when God starts to interpret it through me and it comes out with using what's in my hand may be a pile of cards. In my hand, it may be a balloon. In my hand, it may be a slingshot. All right, let's keep reading because we want to find out what killed Goliath. Verse 49, and David put his hand in the bag and he took thence a stone and he slung it. That sounded like a Kentucky term to me. He slung it. He slung it. He flung it. The stone flew out. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. The next scripture says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. I looked up the word slew because I wanted to be sure. When you look up the word slew, it means he's dead. D-E-A-D, dead, not breathing, not squirming around, not knocked out, not laying there in a daze, not dreaming, nothing. What the gift that he had was what killed the giant, not any other thing. Now, here's the thing. Goliath had a gift. He had a big mouth. He had a big sword. He was big. He had a gift. There may have been a day in his life where he could have used that for good. A big giant sword in the hands of the right people may have been a good thing. But he took his superpower and decided to use it for evil. Well, guess what? You live by the sword, you die. Oh, okay. Well, he didn't die by the sword, though. Because what he died by, he got killed by a rock because somebody used the thing that was in their hand, the thing that they were familiar with. Even though everybody told him, you need to use a sword to kill this guy. Put on this armor. Pack around this sword. No, he goes, no, I was studying for the test, and I saw that the sign is red and white. It's not yellow. No matter what doodle you've drawn, no matter what you think you've seen going down the road. Now, I was talking to Brother Kevin Lamp back there, and he assures me that some places in his town still have the yellow sign. Well, I was teaching this message in another place, and sure enough, somebody walked up with their cell phone, and they found one. And they said, look, here's a sign. So I drove to the place where that sign was. It was homemade. Somebody painted the sign yellow. They took some black electrical tape, and they wrote yield. And yeah, they tried to get me. But then I went to one of the highway workers, and they said, you know what? If the sign is yellow and it's still good, we don't take the sign down. So even though that they changed it in 1972, you still might find a yellow yield sign out there. The point is, if they ever have to replace it, if you ever see a new sign, if they ever erect anything new, the new color is red and white, not yellow, but everybody thinks yellow right off the bat. Part of the reason is because of our caution lights and the yellow flashing lights and things like that to slow down. So you automatically associate that. But David killed Goliath with the rock, not with the sword. Now, here he is, swinging that rock around, releases it, it sinks into the Goliath's forehead, and all of a sudden, I can see all the brothers up on the hill and all the rest of the army going, I wonder if he's dead. I bet he's just knocked out. Because they can't look at the Bible yet and read that David slew the giant with rock. So, what does David do? He goes, you know what? I'm not going to leave any room for error or question on the matter. As a matter of fact, I will take the one thing that this guy could wield around and keep us scared. And I'm going to show the enemy that his gifting is nothing. And he took his sword out and he cuts his head off. He holds it up for everybody to see. Now there's no question that he's dead. Even if you didn't know that his gift, his rock, his sling, his ability, his superpower took Goliath out. Now you know because now you can see it. There's a testimony there. There's something visual there. All of a sudden I got to realize, you know what, a lot of these guys have superpowers that aren't revealed until the moment when they're in the biggest amount of trouble, when they're in their hardest, darkest place. For example, there's this one superhero. New movies are out. Come up here, Gabe, for a second. And this guy named Tony Stark in the first Iron Man movie gets trapped in a cave, right? And the terrorists have got him. And they've put him in the cave. And he's scared to death. And he doesn't know what he's going to... And he's made all these weapons and all these things. And it's all his talented hand is at this. And he's like, my talent, this is great. But then he sees what all of his gifts and talents are being used for. And he goes, this isn't right! And so what does he do? Does he stay in the cave and he hide? Does he... No, what happens to Gabe?
He makes the Mark One.
Yes,
armor.
Yes. That's what he makes. He makes the Mark One gray armor. Turn around here. There we go. There he is. Come on, Gabe. Flex your muscles a little bit. Flex your muscles a little bit. Oh, there you go. That's him. Now, Tony Stark had, obviously, some hidden talents because he was used... You can have a seat for a minute. That was great. You did awesome. Give Gabe a round of applause.
Next time, I'm gonna wear my Iron Man shirt.
Oh, very good. Yes, that would be...
It has a repulsor on it.
I should have told you. I should have gave you a warning, and then you could have dressed for the proper outfit. Tony Stark has talents that are hidden, but he doesn't realize that this stuff is in him until he's in his darkest place, until he's in under some massive amounts of trouble, until he's facing his giant. And yet all the things that he thought were his perfect ability, the course that he thought he was taking, building these weapons, ended up not being the right course for him at all. But every bit of it was a foundation, something that he learned from and built on, and in a cave builds the very first, what was it, Mark 1, Iron Man suit and saves the day. And then, of course, we get to, later on in the movie, the real Iron Man comes out, and I know you wish this. I know, he's excited, he wants to, this is not a mask, sorry. But the actor comes into play, and all that stuff. Okay. So, but his potential, his superpower gets developed when he's in a struggle. So all of a sudden our adversary may, the things you're going through, may just be revealing a superpower that you need to tap into. So I got to thinking about it. Here, I wanted to show you another superhero in the movies. I have in here, this is my prediction. It's a secret prediction. Now, there was another, I'm going to need somebody to help me out. Let's see. Oh, right back there with your hand in the air. All right, orange shirt. Just stay right there. I need you to hold on. I gotta get ready for the prediction. I'm gonna try to read your mind, and I'm gonna try to influence and try to make you pick what's in the envelope. So hold on, I gotta get ready here. All right. Look into my eyes. All right. Now, I want you to name any famous person, nice and loud, dead or alive. On a count of three, yell it out. 1, 2, 3. Look into my eyes. Nice and loud. Who is it? No, this is Megamind. Yeah. Name any famous person, dead or alive. Who? I don't know who that is. John Wayne. We'll take it. All right. Would you be impressed if I could open up the envelope and inside the envelope was a photograph of John Wayne? Yes, I would too. Hold on, let's see. Here we go. Okay. John Wayne, there he is, 6 months old. Hadn't quite developed his superpower yet. But yet, John Wayne, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what if I would have said Stevie Wonder or something like that? Yeah, I was ready. Okay. That's right. That's right. And Pastor Lisa, did I ask you to name a person? Did I? No? No. No. Okay, okay. All right, no. Here, hold on. Ooh. Okay, no. Wait a minute. How about this? Sir, name any card in a deck of cards. Name any card in the deck of cards. I'm going to open this up. Your card will be revealed right here. Name any card, nice and loud. The Ace of Spades is right there. Okay, thank you, Pastor Lee. Amazing. Okay, you guys are failing big time. Okay, maybe my superpower needs a little work. Maybe it needs a little work. I tell you what, I need to see if I can pull out a superpower out of another individual. Now, there were, how many people heard of the X-Men? Right? Oh gosh. Yeah, okay. Well, let's see. I'm going to need, because there are some X-Women, but they all call them X-Men. So I'm going to need a young lady to help me out, somebody that would like to have some fun. Would you like to help me out? Come up here. All right, you're not very shy, are you? Yes, oh gosh. All right, what's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah? Mm-hmm. Everybody say hi, Sarah. Hi. Sarah, say hi, everybody. Hi. Perfect. All right, Sarah, here's what I need you to do. You're going to stand right over here. Now, in the X-Men games, movies, there was this, the bad guy was named Magneto, mm-hmm. right? And he could control metal. And we're going to do something where we're going to use... hold on, I got them right here. I got a little box full. I brought with me some spoons. Here we go. We're going to use some spoons like this. And so I'm going to give you a spoon like this. Hold on to your spoon. And this is another trick that I learned when I was real small. I was probably about 1 year old in my basement. There's about 700 people in there. Okay, never mind. You may have tried this before. You're going to take a spoon, and we're going to see if we can hang the spoon on the end of your nose. All right. So you just put it on the end of your nose and let go like that. And then you can balance the spoon right on there. You got to be very careful and very, very still. You can't. Okay, don't worry. I got an idea. Here, can you play the spoons? Because we need another band member for later. No, okay. No. I tell you what. I know what the problem is. You see, Magneto had this superpower, and he could control metal and all that kind of stuff. And so, obviously, you're not a mutant, you know, because that's how they got their power. So, instead of being a mutant, there is a scientific principle we can use called static electricity. And so, have you ever taken a balloon and rubbed it on your hair, and then you stick it to the wall? Yeah, and it'll say static electricity. Here we go. We're going to try this. This will be great. Oh yeah, this is gonna be good. First, We just need to charge you up a little bit. All right? All right, stand right here. I apologize in advance. No, here we go. Oh, it's kind of working. Hold on, let's charge your face a little bit. Wait a minute, let's charge your arms. Oh yeah, this is gonna be great. Yeah, sometimes they need a little help revealing their superpower. They don't know what they have yet. All right, we're gonna try it. Here we go, stay right there. Oh, put one arm on top of your head. Put your other arm on top of your head. Stay right there, don't move. Here we go. Static electricity. Here we go, don't move. Oh yeah, it's working. Hold on. Oh, this is perfect. Boy, turn that way just a little bit. Perfect. All right. Hold on. Let me try this one. Oh yeah, that's awesome. Yes, it's working. Oh, it's beautiful. There we go. Oh gosh, oh, it's wearing off. Wait, we have to hurry. We have to hurry. I have more spoons. It's working. All right. Okay, well, I don't think this is very good. Give her a big round of applause. Beautiful. Come on, take a bow. They love you. They think you're awesome. Oh, take another. Oh, come on, you got bend at the waist. There we go. There we go. Give her a round of applause. Whew. Now that's a magnetic personality right there. She didn't even know she had that superpower. Well, okay, maybe it was a little bit hokey, a little bit fun, but you know what? There are things that release the God that's in you. There are things that release it, and sometimes it's adversity that does it, like in David's case, or like in Tony Stark's case, and that adversity release thing. But there is also something that just puts a draw on you, and that's just genuine love. And when you see somebody in need, when you feel that drawing, then that's the opportunity for you to release your superpower, no matter what it is. And sometimes it might come in the shape of actually drawing attention to somebody, like a magnet to steel. And a lot of times that's how your friendship should be. And you can pull somebody up out of a bad place. You can take somebody that's in a dark place and you can help them get out of it. If you remember in Iron Man, there was another guy in the cave with him, right? That saved his life by building, and put the battery cables and kept the magnet, electromagnet from the things getting in his heart. All that stuff was necessary. And ultimately, it brought forth the ultimate Iron Man thing, all because one guy decided, I'm going to help him. I don't know him. I have no connection to him. There's nothing that pulls us together except we happen to be in this situation together. We're in this cave together. We're in this dark place together. So that's why your experience is so important. The place where you've been can help somebody show and reveal their hidden superpower. What's your hidden superpower? I hope this week we find out what it is. I hope no matter what it is that we start to pull it out of you. I hope whenever you see somebody at camp today, no matter what situation they're going through, they may need a friend. Maybe they miss at home. Maybe they fall and hurt their knee. Maybe somebody thinks that they're hidden in a dark place and they feel like that they should wear a mask all the time because they're not as pretty as they should be. Or they don't get all the attention that they need, and they want to hide. You know, I was a pretty shy kid, believe it or not. But through the gift of magic and illusions and fun like this, it brought something out of me. And all of a sudden, I find a way to share the gospel. I find a way to talk about what changed my life by using something that just might get somebody else's attention. So what is it that you have that even at camp this week, what can you release to bring out in somebody else? I charge you tonight to find throughout this week your superpower, whatever it is. It may be being a great friend. It may be showing somebody how to praise and worship. It may be laying hands on somebody and praying for them at that exact moment, even when we're not up here in the powerful setting where people are crying and worshiping. And before, yeah, it may be when you're over in your bunk and you see somebody kind of curled up and they're turned away from everybody else. That may be your open window to reveal a little bit of your hidden superpower. You don't even know what it is. But it may be that hug. It may be just calling somebody by name. You know what? That's one of the most powerful things that you can do is address people by name. Yep. Try to find out everybody's name. Try to remember as many names as you can. If you call people by name, that does something for them. Your superpower may be a great memory. Your superpower may be able to sense when somebody needs that hug or needs that touch. Your superpower may be able to make everybody laugh. You may be a natural born leader that can get up here and sing and dance and get everybody into the presence of God. Whatever it is, I charge you to try to find out what it is and lock onto it. And this week is the perfect atmosphere to find out and seek what He has for you. Because He is the ultimate superhero. He already saved the world, right? He's already done the hard part. All we have to do is operate with Him through us and release it in various forms and in different ways. I might release it with a giant 4-foot spoon. You might release it some other way. But when we start to release more of Him, then we can see the world changed. And I'm not talking about just a city and going back to your place. I'm talking about a world that's already been saved because of what Jesus did. That world can be affected because of the superpower that you release. I charge you to find it and to realize who He is in you. And if you use your power for good and not evil, Goliath decided to use his for evil, his superpower come back and cut his head off. But when you use it for good, what's inside of you, all of a sudden you become royalty. David ended up being a king. David ended up with the sword as a prize, a trophy. They gave it to him later on. So the things that you want, fame, fortune, all that stuff really doesn't matter. But when you start to use the giftings of God that He's given you, whatever they are, amazing things can happen. You are world changers. I totally, 100%, wholeheartedly believe that this room is filled with world changers. Not people that are just going to sit and watch things happen. But you are the guys who are creative. You're the next inventors. You're the next government leaders. You are the world changers. It's all given to you. And God has already done the hard part. And He goes, I've put it in them already. If they could ever tap into what they have on the inside, if they'll start to realize who they are because I live inside of them, then you are unstoppable. You are the Iron Man of the future. You are Superman. You are the Wonder Woman. You are the Incredible Hulk. You are whichever. You're the Megamind. Megamind was the bad guy at first, but if you watch the whole movie, he becomes the superhero in the end. So no matter what your perception is of yourself, when you start to use and see what God sees, in the end, you become a hero. I want you to find it, not wait till the end of a movie, not wait till the end of your life before you tap into it. Start to tap into it now and find out what God has for you. Are you guys ready for an awesome week? Well, we are about to go down to a campfire in a little bit, but I'm going to ask Pastor Lisa to come back up here. And I have I found this wallet a while ago. I don't know if when you guys were playing, it was up here on stage, but I found this laying there, and I wanted to make sure that this... Oh, gosh. Okay, hold on. That might be mine. We might use this down at the bonfire later. We can get things started with it. Come on up here, Pastor Lisa. Thank you guys for letting me have fun. Now, how many of you were here last year? How many were here last year? And you got to see the all the Lion King characters? Well, this is Superhero Week. So there's no telling what we'll see tomorrow, but I promise you we have a lot of cool things in store for you, and you won't want to miss it, so don't be late. When they tell you to get up at 9:15 and get to breakfast and get in here, you want to be on time because you're not going to want to miss any of it. Any speaker, you never know when I'm going to jump up here. You never know when something might end up on the stage, or it's just you want to be a part in every aspect of this camp. When they ask you to go play volleyball, get out there. Either if you're not playing, at least be out there, be supportive, pick a team, yell for your team, cheer somebody on, because that could be your superpower, encouraging somebody else. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Lisa, amen. Thank you.
Amen. How incredible was that? Did you enjoy that tonight? Amen. I got to figure that out. That is just too cool. Amen. Stand to your feet tonight. Do we have any heroes in the room tonight? A couple hands went up. A hero is just an ordinary person doing extraordinary things. Do we have any ordinary people in the room tonight? Just an ordinary average person. Amen. God uses average, ordinary people to do extraordinary things, if you'll let him. Amen? Do a song for us, Jason.